It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by L.A. Finch Fabrics. Go to lafinchfabrics.com and use code SPRINGBREAK20 for 20% off site-wide, now through April 26, 2019.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And this is, I'm really excited about this because we haven't talked about your aerial costume process a ton.
We haven't. Is
no,
that right?
I don't think so. Guess if we have, oh well.
I think, you know, the first aerial costume I made for myself, I think we, and my partner, we talked about the applique.
Yeah, we talked about the applique, mm-hmm. but we didn't talk about like the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited.
And I think we did a zigzag special on
yes.
the applique.
Yes, yeah. we did. So
zigzagger special. Zigzagger. Is it a zigzag or a zigzagger?
I don't know. Whatever. You know, when I came up with those things, I don't know if I was thinking about like how they would be to like say and write. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Well, apparently skateboard people call themselves zigzaggers too.
Oh, do
which
they?
Makes sense because they zigzag
yeah,
down hills.
Sure,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You mean like roller skaters?
No,
rollerbladers.
No, I'm no
skateboarders.
Just well, are the skate community in general?
Okay,
but I was under the impression it was like skateboarders. So I don't know.
ZD's joining the skater community.
Yeah, I just got
picking up a new hobby.
I got a brand new pair of roller skates.
Yep. Good job. So, anyway, ZD, this is her second time having this showcase and making these unitard-like
right.
costumes.
Aerial-specific.
Aerial-specific costumes. They're all of them have been the same basic shape. Like, they are
well, they've
full,
all been a unitard,
yeah,
yes.
full-length unitard. The first showcase you did, you made three. One for yeah. you and your partner and mm-hmm. one for another
person
performer.
Yes, performer
and then this time you're just making two.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us, I want to start off with this component of it. Tell us kind of your process for drafting out this unitard.
Okay
that's what I want to hear about.
And I wondered how well this process was going to work.
Uh-huh.
And it worked out amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically I do the made to measure leggings.
Yeah,
I measure them. This is funny, too. I thought I was going to do a sloper for everybody. I did no slopers at all.
Yeah.
I just made the costume. I was like, this is too much work.
I think that's yeah. because of me, because you were, I think at one point you were like, oh, should I make muslins? Should I make slopers?
Right.
So I was like, Mom, when's the last time you made something for somebody that didn't fit?
Well,
like,
I know, but, you know, every time I make something, I get it all done, and I'm like, it's not going to fit.
Well,
like,
this is the new.
That's my.
Yeah. That's and it wasn't for you.
It's,
it was for
right,
someone else.
Right. And that's my insecurity. And it's for people that I haven't made something for before. So like if I had made it for you, I'd know it would
yeah.
fit because I know your body.
Right.
Okay.
Right. No, it's
you
new
know.
People.
And it's so funny when I measure somebody new, I make body comparisons.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When I say that, it's like, oh, Tina's leg is like Hillary's leg. She has this really muscular thighs, and then she has tiny ankles. Why does she have tiny ankles?
No, it's like
it's,
when
it's so funny.
When
like,
you've measured a bunch of people,
yeah.
it kind of goes into my bank.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, this man also had this size chest, or this person.
And you know what? It helps
desk.
You to do that in
oh,
a
yeah.
way, because then when you go to drafting, it doesn't look so foreign.
Yes.
Okay, because
yes.
when you draft, it oftentimes does not look like a commercial pattern.
When you draft for your own body, people get all freaked out. Imagine when you start drafting for all these different people who are all these different sizes.
Right. and Lacey, who's the, I drafted for Jen, who is closer to my size.
She's a little more similar to you.
Well, you know, at least size-wise. Yeah. Like, she's like 5'3 or something. Do you know what I mean? Although she has long legs. I don't. You know, that kind of thing. She was short-waisted. I'm long-waisted.
But Lacey's like a giant.
But Lacey is this magnificent, like, 5'10 woman.
Right.
Like, you know, that I'm like I lust over being tall, you know.
Sure.
So she has all these legs. And I drafted her made-to-measure leggings, and I could hold them up, like, to my eyes, and they reached the floor. You know, I mean, that's how, like, they were so big.
Okay, Betsy, I think, if you're listening, she has, like, a 48-inch outseam. Like, it's almost as tall
as us. Right. Yeah, Lacey was. Like, I'm 60 inches, and maybe Lacey's outseam, you know, is 51 or something.
Right.
It's like really weird. And I was like, I kept drawing and drawing and having to move the ruler and the measuring tape, you know, and I was like, oh, I need more room.
Okay. So you do the made to measure leggings.
Right.
Okay.
So I do the made to measure leggings. I make sure that I do their waistline and I know where that is because this is where the meld is going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I draft a leotard.
Okay.
And the leotard is very similar to the made to measure leggings. You know, I mean, the shoulder, you know, I have the shoulder width. I know where everything's going to land.
Well, it's kind of like the Rhapsody too.
Right. Like, so I don't take a leotard pattern from someone.
Sure.
You know, I'm looking at their measurements, their the length of their back to their waist, you know, their shoulder width, you know, how big around are their arms here and there, and you know, how long are they? And one reason I actually did this is I thought if I'm going to draft this for these people, and I might want these in my pattern bank for these people later if I stay in this community and we're doing stuff or something, you know. And I thought, so I want a leotard pattern for them and I want a leggings pattern for them because, I mean, we wear leggings all the time.
Yeah.
And there could be a show where maybe we all wanted, like, similar leggings or something. Okay. So I decided to draft both of those things.
Yes.
Okay. And I know where the waist is.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what's the difference between a unitard and a leotard or a unitard and a pair of leggings? Well, you know, the leotard doesn't have legs.
Right.
And the
unitard... The leggings don't have a body.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't have a body. So... Basically, what I do is I lay down the, you know, the leotard pattern. I lay the leggings pattern down, and I blend them at the waist.
Okay.
It's been perfect. I'm on my, well, and even this time I did a more weird thing sort of when I blended, but, so that's like five drafts blendings I've done.
Do you eliminate the center front seam of the leggings?
Yes and no.
Talk to me.
So I did on mine and Lacey's.
Yeah.
There was no center front, right? And here's the deal. With that stretch fabric and that performance fabric, you just sort of make a U there.
Right, yeah.
Do not have to compensate for taking that little bit of rise or, you know, that's not even the rise
it's
if you want to know the truth.
It's the going around.
It's that little arc that goes, you know, under, that meets the baby chute, right? If you have a baby chute.
Or
whatever we want to call it, you know.
Your crotch.
Yeah.
So whatever's going on there.
That's right. Whatever you have going on
In fact, I just want to say real quick, sorry to interrupt you. You said it's not the rise. And the rise, so you're not eliminating rise. And the rise is what gives you what you need to either accommodate belly or voluminous genitalia or whatever. So you're getting that good fit.
When I think of rise, I think I'm like of sitting down and making that measure from the chair to my waist.
Yeah.
And when I think of the crotch seam, I think of... You know, you're going all the way around. So what you're eliminating is a little bit of crotch.
And
it's not very much.
And like you said, stretchy fabric. So you kind of just blend that together and give yourself that smooth U.
I just make sort of a U there. Now, on Lacey's, I really wound up with too much fabric.
Uh-huh.
And I had to alter it a little bit and take it away. But, you know, the thing I would have worried about would be not enough. And I could have always, if I really, really had to, I could have put a gusset in there.
Yeah, I actually made, which I've not blogged this because it was really, like, weird. But I made the jumpsuit that I could pee in.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And at first, I gave myself too much fabric in the crotch area. It was too much, you know. So what I did was, like, I had extended the back butt area, so it kind of like opened up so you could go to the bathroom, you know. And so anyway, yeah, it's almost like you're almost in danger of too much fabric, which
is good.
Yeah.
And like I said, I knew that I could always add a gusset if it was too tight, because, you know, I don't want to like give anybody I don't want to be able to read anyone's lips, so to speak.
You want to provide some kind of silhouette most of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and on Jen's, she actually had a color block that needed that center seam.
Yeah, that's
okay. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you look, if you do your research, many of them do have the center seam, and then they have a small cross seam down there. So basically, they've sewed the leotard to a pair of leggings.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, it might be in different places. It might be at the waist. It might be, you know, set lower. You know, they're in different places according to the style.
A lot of unitards will also, so we're talking about the front right now.
Right.
Mom's eliminating that center seam. But did your unitards have back seams?
All of them.
Right. That's a place where you're a little more used to seeing
a seam. And the other reason that you want to, you want a back seam is more than likely you have to get in and out of this thing.
Yeah.
So more than likely you're going to open up the back somehow, some way, you know, whether you leave an opening or
and
whatever.
It can help accommodate a butt. It can help accommodate a curve or, you know, not a sway back really. But,
and something has to go around your thigh there.
Yeah.
You know, and come in between your legs.
That's
something has to.
Yes.
So, but like I said, eliminating that, it was like not even 2 inches. Like,
isn't
it was just
funny?
Nothing.
I think it's funny that you can eliminate that. It is really interesting that works.
Now, on this current costume for myself and for Tina, I let the center front seam in. And the reason I did this is it's a very holographic fabric, okay? And I didn't want that to be, I really did want to keep the shape.
Yeah.
Okay? I felt like it would just be better if I had that shape there. And I wouldn't have to, you know, accommodate it by cutting that little extra off. And it's worked out perfectly.
Yeah, so.
And I also attach, you know, this is more of a leggings attached to leotard process that I did this time also.
Right. So if you're kind of doing this at home, I know we're not given detailed instructions. Maybe this is something that could come down the pike if people are interested. But somebody asked me about the jumpsuit that I made, and they were like, oh, how do you make the jumpsuit with the leggings? It's like, you can just put the shirt. I mean, you can seam. If you're in a bodysuit, you know, on top of your leggings or something like that, or your floozy doozies.
Right.
In fact, there's a designer who does a panty that looks like the floozy doozy and basically attaches, like, cool shirts to them.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, cool. It's like a cool bodysuit,
right,
you know?
Right.
So that's okay to do. Or you could, so you could have your Rhapsody pattern.
And you can decide where you want, if you want a seam to attach them or if you don't want a seam to attach them.
Yeah, this person is doing like stretchy bottoms with like woven tops.
Right.
So there's another option. So anyway, sky's the limit is what I kind of wanted to just bring up there, you know, as you experiment. And if you were doing this for the first time, ZD didn't make a muslin. Maybe you do want to make
one. You might want
one.
To. Well, especially if you're going to cut into maybe really expensive fabric or you have a limited amount of fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make a mistake, you're going to be in trouble, something like that. I had a bolt.
Yeah, does everyone not have a bolt?
I had
black
a bolt
stretch velvet.
black stretch velvet at that time, so I wasn't too panicky.
We still have it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that it
we're going to have, there will be some more black costumes in the future.
Yeah, okay, I thought so. Okay.
I'm pretty sure. So fit came out just excellent.
Yeah.
I was just really surprised.
And you think that noting that waist mark was very important.
That's where I blended everything. Was it the waist? So I knew the waist of my leggings, and I this was true waist. The I'm a little teapot bend over, that is your waist. So you must make sure that you draft the waist at the same place, you know, on the leotard and on the leggings.
Uh-huh.
Because that's your, now, I say that's your connection part. That's where I laid it.
Right.
Now, on this particular costume, I had a curved line that was the connection point.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, I laid my two patterns together, and then I knew where my curved line was, so I had to draft,
right,
you know, for that line.
It was kind of like a color blocking thing, sort of.
Well, it was actually where I attached it to.
Okay, yes, yes. But both those things came together. Where you attached it was also color blocking.
It was, so the construction and the color blocking, you know, were elements of getting the pants onto the leotard.
The form was the function or whatever.
Yes, were the same.
Yeah. Okay, right. Well, let's take a short message break and come back, and let's talk a little bit more about the color blocking similarities and differences between the two showcases.
Okay.
And, you know,
sure,
how those worked out, okay? Mm-hmm. We're excited to welcome back L.A. Finch Fabrics as a sponsor. Josie and her team currently have a ton of bold swimwear knits in stock, along with stretch and non-stretch denims in a wide variety of colors. Upgrade your wardrobe with on-trend fabrics from the L.A. Garment District.
Now, through April 26, 2019, use code SPRINGBREAK20 for 20% off site-wide. That's 20% off Comb Mills Denim, Liverpool Knits, Activewear Fabrics, Rayon Chalet, and Designer Wovens from famous makers.
Get everything you need for every season at lafinchfabrics.com. And remember, use code SPRINGBREAK20, that's SPRINGBREAK20, for 20% off all fabrics.
Thanks LA Finch Fabrics!
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Okay, so showcase number one, you had kind of these flowing lines that came down the body and the base, the unitard, you'd say, oh, that's a black costume with these accents and these sheer inserts.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, mm-hmm. And we'll have pictures with this, right, of course. And you may have already seen this, actually, because it's from, like, last October. And then this costume, it looks a little more, like, color blocked. It's sort of mm-hmm. these stripes that are flowing,
right,
you know, on the costume.
Where the theme is elements, mm-hmm. like the elements of, you know, air and fire and earth, and what's the other one?
Water. You.
Oh, water. Might be water.
What are you doing?
So you know, I immediately, when we're doing water, uh-huh. we're you know, doing a song about a river, right? So I immediately go to blue when
sure.
I think of water. I mean, I didn't want to do like the Muddy Mississippi. Okay.
Makes sense.
Right.
I get it.
I just, and I think it's a universal color for water.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I actually went like blue, silver,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the costume is silver and turquoise and white basically. And it's all shiny, glitzy. The silver is holographic. I think the white might be holographic, too.
So this one is all, correct me if I'm wrong, it's all kind of seamed and color blocked. And your previous costume had these appliques around
it.
Did you applique on this one?
So this might be the trick for you. It looks seamed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the seams are applique seams.
Okay.
So the way I made this costume was a little bit different than the other one, and I think all of them will now be made this way.
Ah.
I got better, smarter, thought through the process mm-hmm. better. So what I did is I drafted a leotard basically on power mesh.
Yes.
This was from Vanity. So Tina and I decided we wanted sort of a little bit of a Spanx thing going on.
You wanted some support and control.
A little bit around our middle. Smoothing. Because we were afraid like we would get slouchy or something, you know.
Okay, now, also, you got holographic shiny stuff all around your soft parts, whereas yes, you had black velvet.
I had black velvet before.
Time.
I did.
That's
I did.
A different thing.
Yes, that
yeah.
is true. That
yeah.
is true. And the other, now, I don't want the mesh around my bosoms.
Okay.
Okay. Not the power mesh. I actually put regular mesh.
Okay.
So what I did is I took the leotard draft and I cut it out of the mesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now the top mesh is a lightweight decorative mesh and it actually has holographic sequins on
uh-huh.
it. Okay. And this is basically to kind of give a nude look with a sparkle on it.
Right.
But, you know, so it appears sort of nude from the audience. And that's very common in like skating costumes,
yeah.
Your gymnastics costumes.
A little more traditional to me. It reminds me of other.
Does it?
Yeah, this costume reminds me a bit more of, yeah, like a gymnastics leotard or something
like that. It does
more.
It's a little bit more,
yeah.
I would say,
geometric.
Yeah, it's a little bit more geometric.
Yeah.
So, and I always think, oh, I'll design this so I can wear it again, and then I just make another costume. But
yeah, right.
I'll wear this again. Well, maybe not. But anyway, so here's this base of mesh leotard.
Yes.
And then what I did is I took the spandex with sparkly spandex, right? The sparkly spandex. And I needed to use the sparkly spandex because I wanted to be sparkly. And with the Ariel, it's hard. It's not a good idea to add sequins,
uh-huh.
to add rhinestones, or any sort of embellishment that is raised on the costume because it will snag in the silks or it will also come off.
Right.
Okay, so you're trying to create a smooth costume, but you still want some texture.
Right.
So I cut my color blocks.
Right.
So I drew a picture of my leotard, you know, took my magic marker, my Sharpie, whatever, you know, and made these lines where I wanted them.
Right. right.
And then off of that, I drafted what my applique spandex would be that was going to be applique onto this power mesh.
Uh-huh.
And I lay my cutout costume meshed piece of leotard on that, and I can see through the mesh.
Yeah.
And I know where to lay this.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's all applique on.
So it's like you made yourself a leotard.
Right.
And then you made yourself like these leggings that came up with this fun, you know, kind of rising
right.
V
right.
thing. And you like applique that on.
Yes. Yeah, so I applique
cool.
the legs onto the leotard.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing I did do this time too. I left the bottom of the leotard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is not, so the crotch of the pants and the crotch of the leotard are not connected, but I have built-in panties.
Yes. So you didn't do that last time.
No.
And last time the shape was different, you know, and you kind of cut into this whole unitard.
Well,
to get
you mean
inserts.
The applique, like the design, not the shape of the garment was basically
you're right.
the same.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The design was different.
Right.
But this way you get that. That panty in there, or that you can call it a right. trunk, you call it briefs or something. And that's something that is really nice to have. It can give the performer a little bit more security.
Right. And do you remember
modesty.
When I used to make yeah. your acro leotards?
Uh-huh.
I would build panties into them.
Yeah. So, like,
right.
let's just be upfront here. This is about, like, your genitalia not being just one thin layer of fabric
right.
away from the public.
Right. You just feel a little bit more not naked.
Yes.
And
so,
I will tell you, in gymnastics, in acro, in aerial, in a lot of these things, even, well, dance is pretty much
yeah.
like this too. There's a lot of spread eagle stuff going
yes.
on.
Okay.
So, and a lot of people may have to be wearing something.
Right.
You know, whether it's a dance belt for genitalia or a dance belt because they're having their period
right,
or a tampon or whatever it might be.
Right.
It might be there. But I've also got this other trick I figured out. So I really believe if you wear a panty liner, you can avoid
laundering.
No.
Oh.
The camel toe.
Oh, you think it's a smooth? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
like
smoother.
A little piece of support. It's
no,
like, it's,
I
like,
totally
it's almost
agree.
Like having nipple, you know, the, nipple covers.
Yeah. The dance,
yeah.
You know, the dance belt for, you know, generally traditionally
right.
used with men, you know, a lot of people, when if they've never seen a traditional sort of ballet before, they're like, oh my God, that guy's package is like way out there. And it's supposed to be, it's a very controlled thing.
Right.
So it's like they put they put something that is padded, that smooths over.
There is a smooth kite. Like in,
it's
in
like
athletics,
a cup.
There's a cup.
Yeah.
But this is a smooth cup.
Right. So
basically, this panty liner is like a feminine, femaleish cup.
So if you want that smoothing look,
right.
don't hesitate. Do whatever you need to do down there. You know, wear a pad or add some fabric in, too.
Right. And that's true, too.
Yeah.
And I even thought about the fabric, and I thought, I don't need the fabric.
Uh-huh. You didn't. Yeah, you chose.
Because if I choose this, because what I was having my discussion with my performance partner, we're in these all day.
Yeah.
We can change this little panty liner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the panty liner does not show. And that's another thing. When you start trying to put underwear under this and all this other stuff, you're trying to avoid lines.
Okay.
Now,
in the
velvet, lines weren't going to show.
Right, right.
In this is holographic silver fabric over your thighs and your butt. Like, lines can show.
I love it that we're talking about this because I just feel like people don't like to talk about this stuff or they don't feel comfortable doing it. So, like, some people might love the idea of the panty liner or not or whatever. And it's like, you know, you do what works for you. But like, oh, and everyone's anatomy is so different. You know, there's like projects about out there showing different types of like vulva labia structures.
Right.
And some people, when they're active, that can actually be like an issue.
Yes.
You know, for them. So maybe a supportive undergarment.
Right.
And not only for perhaps attractiveness or line purposes, but like for comfort.
It's the same. We wear bras.
Yeah.
Under ours.
Yeah.
We're more mature women.
Uh-huh.
Okay. With some breast.
Yeah.
Like
you,
quite a bit of breast.
You both are pretty heavy chested.
I have a lot of breast tissue. I probably more than Tina even, but you know, she's got now. If you are younger and they are firmer. And don't move around as much, maybe, or you're just firm, or you've had implants and you're firmer.
Could be a different
story.
They will
stay in one place.
Right.
Okay. And not goosh around under all this stuff while you're doing this. Mine don't.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, I have to wear a bra, and I have to wear a bra that has some sort of pad between me and the Lycra.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't have to. But
this is what you the look you're wanting. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want people to concentrate on my nipples.
Oh my God.
I don't want that to be the show.
Okay, when I was a dance major and it was just clear some people absolutely did not care if their nipples were showing. And for me, I was so self-conscious about that. And I'm like, it just is a personal preference thing.
Yeah.
Like, and I am so very much like, so I would buy these leotards that had cool sheer backs or something, and I'd always wear a sports bra under them.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, no, I don't want anybody to, like, I don't want nipples to stick out. And then these other girls, they were like, oh, no, I don't care. You know?
Right.
I was like, well,
mine is even a matter of function. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to turn upside down.
Yeah.
And then they're going to move. And if I turn right side up, they might stay
they might
up.
Go back. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I need to keep them corralled for me.
So, yes.
Now, you know, Hannah has this costume that someone made for her. And it is, like, freaking out of mind gorgeous, you know. And it's all mesh. And it just has, like, these squares over her boobs. And then a square here and a line here. You know, it's like, it's sort of like you painted it on her, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so you weren't, she goes, nope, I was in shape. Yep. I don't have a lot of breast tissue and nothing moved. Well, I was like, okay.
And my breast tissue.
And see, I have to tell you, I don't think I was ever there.
Yeah, yours were
I think
not,
I always had to worry about it.
And this is something I mention in the Lingerie Addicts group a lot, but people will say, you know, like I have this size breast, but then this character of breast tissue, or I have implants, or I have this, or da-da-da-da-da. And like my breast tissue has changed over the years, and like my size hasn't changed a lot, but it's sort of like, how it acts is different.
No, it just is different. Right.
So, yeah, so there are different considerations. So you're wearing like a ready-to-wear bra under this costume.
I am actually wearing a type of sports bra, okay. And it has a small, like a thin foam pad.
A foam, too.
I tried it without the pad, and you can literally I have like a holographic ring around my nipple.
Well,
right.
That's another thing. If you had black velvet over your nipples,
then
you
I
might
probably
not show.
Wouldn't worry about
yeah,
it.
Right,
yeah. And this is what I feel comfortable with. And this is a big deal. You're up there. You're displaying your body and you're doing all these weird things anyway. The last thing you want to worry about is your costume and that you don't think it looks right or it's riding up your butt or your boob's going to pop out or, you know, any Janice Jackson kind of thing going on or whatever. Hey, and so, we had that happen last year where somebody popped a strap on their costume.
Yeah. No,
and I had to run back and sew them together.
That worrying about that stuff is just so, it's like costumes are such an integral part and they just need to like support the performer in however, you know, they need to be supported. And I have seen the funniest things. As a performer, it's like some people are wearing these certain things under their costumes and other people are not. And other people – I can't think of something super idiosyncratic at the moment. I guess I wore those really high-waisted briefs. Like they were way up to my – like right under my like bra strap.
They were that high.
For Sweeney Todd, for modesty during changing, and just simplified everything.
Right.
You know, and so anyway.
Well, I was thinking about that last time I wore a nude bodysuit under mine and a bra. And this time I don't. And last time I was just undressing in front of all the guys and everything, and this time I won't be doing that.
Yeah, because it's a different.
Yeah, because I'm not covered. Like I sort of felt like I had a swimming suit on under my, you know, costume. And I won't be able to do that with just my little panty liner this time.
I won't feel that comfortable.
No, I won't feel that comfortable.
Now I just remembered something idiosyncratic. And a friend and I talked about this where community theater or slightly professional theater was the first place that we learned that people walked around in pantyhose with no underwear on.
Oh, but that, you mean your summer stock when you were at.
I'm talking about walking around.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not just up in the costume.
Well, you know, there used to be a saying is if you haven't been nude, you know, in the VOMS, then you haven't been in theater. And the VOMS, if anybody wants to know what a VOM is it's located off the side of the stage. And in the olden days, people would get drunk and rowdy and everything during, you know, performances. And that's where they went to vomit.
Vomitorium.
That's what it was.
Okay. So so you have different, like, different undergarment requirements with this costume.
And I said to Tina, this is what I am doing. You know, you'll definitely want a bra.
Yeah.
You know, and this is also, the mesh comes down sort of, you know, pretty low at one point around the breast. So, you know, security reasons, but is what I wanted. But I told her, I think you'll want a bra, and I do not know if you'll want panties or not. You know, I'm building this in, and then we had our discussion about the panty liner.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I have like laser cut nude underpants. Mm-hmm. And I said, exactly.
Right.
You know, you may want those. I don't know.
Right.
You know, it just depends. So, you know, she is wearing a sports bra with a similar liner.
And on both of these costumes from both different events, like even though you've got this, you know, your skin tone mesh, you've got it coming up really high.
Yeah.
And I feel like that might be a good choice for someone who does have a lot of breast tissue. That
was my choice, yes.
Go up and down and stuff.
Yes.
You know, that
at least they're somehow contained, you know what
I mean? Like, you don't feel like you have a risk of anything falling out. And you really, I mean, you're going upside down and sideways and
right.
All the way,
you know, I started out thinking I was just going to do a leotard this time.
Yeah.
For some reason, just to be different from the last time, right? And the more I thought about it, well, here, the one problem with Ariel and wearing a leotard is you do have to wear tights.
Yeah.
You know, you need something on your legs because you'll tear them up. Tear up your legs and the tights a lot of times get torn up.
Yeah. They're...
And I just didn't want to have it.
Didn't want to mess with that. Yeah.
Usually what people do is buy three or four pairs of tights.
Sure.
You know. But I've also seen them rip. Now, I will tell you, I think it's also quality.
Sure.
They don't, you know, they're trying to skimp and they think they're the same and they're not. You need to buy good quality dance tights. You don't go to the department store and just buy like fishnets or black tights.
Right. Oh, dance tights are very different.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have to be dance tights.
And they are more expensive.
And they are more expensive, you know. But I've seen them rip during a performance, and then that looks really awful, you know.
What about, tell me if you don't want to move on to this yet, let's talk about closures and hands and feet on these costumes.
Okay.
So on your costume that you made for your first showcase, what kind of closure did it have in the back? So
to get into it, obviously you have to step into it, this type of thing, a unitard or a leotard. And the neck was high.
Yes.
And it also had mesh.
Uh-huh.
It mesh or velvet, depending on what side of the costume you're on. They were very asymmetrical. So I left a keyhole opening, but this keyhole has to be big enough, mind you.
To get your butt into.
You have to get it over your butt. So it's the keyhole plus, you know, the size of the neck. Well, the neck wasn't that big.
Right.
Right.
Because it's real high neck. Right.
So you sometimes wind up with a pretty big keyhole. Or you can also have just a slit, you know, where you don't close the seam back there. Sometimes with that, it will gap on you.
Yeah.
When you're performing. So, you know, there's an issue there, too. It just depends. So if you're making this for a child, you're not going to have a big gap.
Sure.
But if you're making this for a tall, big person with wide shoulders, it may gap because you've got to have quite a slit down the back. So you got to take, and then, you know, basically it's closed with a bra hook. For me, I have seen people use a snap. I don't trust snaps.
Oh, okay. So you use a bra hook instead. I see.
Yes. No. Some people will do more than one. Okay. So they will have something like, maybe they do have a snap, but then under that snap, they have some sort of hook and eye thing to reinforce it. So, because, you know, if you put pressure on or off of a snap, it will pop sometimes.
Yes.
Now, if you're skating, that's probably not going to happen. If you're doing gymnastics or you're hanging from the ceiling on a piece of fabric, you might be popping that. And the other thing you have to think about in aerial is that the clothing may be static where you are leaning or pulling on one of the silks so that you're pulling away from it.
Right.
You know, the clothing might be being held, you know, and you're moving. So it's rough.
Ariel
is rough on the costumes.
Okay, but on this one, your back closure.
So I kept trying to decide what to do because I knew I was going to have to open this up or have it open. And I put in an invisible zipper.
This is so cool to me. Yeah.
So it's in this mesh lightweight mesh that it has a holographic like Mylar sequin dot on it here and there. Sort of randomly done.
And it goes sort of like right to the sort of the top of your chest here and then like down mid back.
So yes. Like, in the back the mesh is lower.
Yeah, right. Okay.
It's right above, I think, the bra line, the bra band.
Okay.
I think that's about right. And so this was a little scary for me. I didn't know how this mesh would hold up. Guess what I did?
What'd you do?
I tested.
Did you test?
And
test.
I tested.
Test,
and I
test,
tested.
Test.
And I tested.
Test.
So I would suggest if anybody wants to put an invisible zipper or a zipper of any kind in a lightweight mesh or a lightweight fabric, that you get the
Wonder Clips?
The Wonder Tape.
Wonder Tape.
The Wonder Tape. It's the two-sided sort of sticky tape that goes away with moisture, right?
Yeah.
You know, it will wash away.
It's good stuff.
I felt it was a saving grace. The other way, the other thing that I changed about this is I actually sewed the seam together.
Oh.
So I basted mm-hmm. where I was going to put the zipper.
Okay.
On the seam allowances, I put the Wonder Tape.
Uh-huh.
I laid the closed zipper down.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And, you know, got it. Now, I can't even imagine trying to do this with pins or clips.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a really light fabric. I think I would have wound up with so many clips. Now, you could baste it in, hand uh-huh. baste it in, I think. Uh-huh. But why? I had Wonder
right,
Tape.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I had Wonder Tape. And I don't even know. What does a roll of Wonder Tape cost?
Like $3.
I would say $3. So,
and it's worth.
If I use $3 for every garment of Wonder Tape,
right.
but I'm on like my fourth garment. With
oh,
this,
no. They, you know. It lasts a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I don't know what the yardage is, but mm-hmm. it's like 30 yards or something. I don't
right.
know.
Right.
So place that zipper on there like that. Then I took out my basting. And then I sewed in.
Okay.
Okay, the zipper. That way I knew it was matching up perfectly on each mm-hmm. side. It held in very nice. I couldn't believe how well it sewed in.
Well, and you're making this zippers don't
right.
stretch, okay? Everybody,
that's right.
you know.
You're just stabilize this back.
ZD had measured, you know, these people and herself and everything, and so the costume's the correct length.
That's correct.
You know, so that's why that's one reason she can do this.
And then what I did next.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now I must mention I had to dye my zipper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dye things, everyone.
Yeah.
I dyed my bra.
I dyed my zipper.
Throw it in the
dye. I dyed one day. I dyed the other day.
Dye.
So, and guess what? The pole dyed.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I was getting ready to paint it, but it dyed, so I didn't have to do anything. Then the next thing I did. So my zipper was hanging over my seam allowance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was larger than my seam allowance. Then I went to my serger and I took my piping foot of my serger,
mm-hmm.
which allowed me to put it over the zipper coil.
Uh-huh.
And I just serged and cut off a whole hunk of that zipper
Whoa.
Along the side. So I made myself a skinny zipper. Plus, I secured it again to that mesh, which is pretty fragile.
So,
I liked having that second secure
so
to the mesh.
You also, you know, in case you ever need to make an invisible zipper lower profile
right.
than it is, you can. That
right. And I've done that on wedding gowns.
That's cool.
Right,
that's cool
with
to know.
With a sheer fabric.
Yeah, I love that. So, mm-hmm. and you said that it was your first time putting an invisible zipper in a sheer.
Well, in a mesh, not
a
sheer, but
in a mesh. Okay.
Probably
in a stretch mesh.
In a stretch mesh. I
may
have even put it in like a mesh that wasn't that stretchy or something.
Uh-huh.
But this particular stretches four ways.
What stitch did you use on your serger?
What stitch?
To do that?
What to do what? to do what?
To make that to just so you're just finishing. You're, you
three
know,
thread narrow.
Yeah, you were three thread narrow.
Three thread
finishing.
Narrow. Three thread narrow.
Yay. Okay.
So, right. Now, to construct it and put it together, everything's a three-thread narrow.
Right.
To applique those pieces onto, I used the regular conventional sewing machine, right?
Uh-huh.
And I used a zigzag at 3 long and 3.5 wide, I believe.
Well, and at this,
or maybe it was 3 and 3.
This point in our lives, I'm a little behind on the zines, but I've restructured things and everyone's been so supportive, yay.
Mm-hmm.
And so there should be, probably by the time this is published, actually the zine about knit appliques should be up for backstitch members or for you to purchase, or you can join and be a zigzag member and you can watch the backed video that we did about that, which was a wonderful video. So hopefully that's all up by the time this gets published.
So you asked me how I finished. Down.
Yeah.
Do we want to go on with how I finish things?
Yeah. I think that this can just be, we thought about splitting it into two episodes, but I think this is just going to be a nice long one. Maybe Marisa's listening on one for walks or something
there you
like
go.
That. Okay. So finishing. So we talked about closures.
Uh-huh.
Now you're going to talk about things like necklines, sleeves, feet. So
right.
you have to finish
feet are different,
feet,
right?
Feet and okay, yeah. So let's
go
to that.
So neckline, basically, this can be done so many ways. I could have taken a piece. Oh, my new favorite thing for shoulder seams.
Okay.
is a strip of power mesh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And it was nude.
Oh, my God.
And I needed nude. And everybody's always asking about this.
We always get this question. What do I put in my shoulder? Why am I putting things in my shoulder seam?
It needs to be clear elastic. It needs to be this, you know.
I use twill tape. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Well, I wanted, I did want a little. I thought, oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was laying there on the table. And I'm like, let me cut a quarter inch strip of this and just run it right.
It was the power shaper net.
I used the power.
Okay, that power shaper net is some stable stuff.
It is magic.
Okay, it does have, it's not power mesh. That's different. Shaper net's different. Shaper net is, you could make like a structured something out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would be sheer. But like, I used it for sheer panels on some underwear.
Uh-huh.
And it's not super
stretchy.
Well,
like I said, the leotard is made out of it.
Yeah.
You know.
It is stable. So it would, what I want to say is, if you are just doing this in a normal thing, it would give you the appropriate control over that shoulder seam.
So my absolute new, if this is the only thing you get out of this podcast is
save
your little scrappies of your power mesh. They're going in your shoulder seams or any other place you want to semi-stabilize, you know, your knit. And I would think it would be a lovely ruching thing.
Mm.
I think I haven't tried it, but I'm betting you this will work on ruching.
You think it would ruche?
Yes, I do.
Like, so stretch it
You would stretch it then. I did not stretch it on the shoulder seams, but I think it.
Okay.
It's almost like a little piece of elastic.
Yeah.
You know, try it. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I honestly think you could ruche with it.
No, that's something for us to try.
Because I'll tell you what, if you can use that clear elastic that doesn't stand up under anything, I don't know why you can't use this.
Very true. Okay, so you like that in the shoulder seams. Talk to us about necklines. What'd you do?
So this particular neckline, what I did, I used was just the swimwear elastic.
Uh-huh.
Serged it on from underneath, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do that on the wrong side every once in a while.
Okay. Yeah, that
No, you're supposed to do it on the wrong side, but I do it on the incorrect
right.
side.
So the elastic is on the right side. I mean, on the
on
wrong,
the wrong side.
Side. Right. I'm sorry. On the wrong side.
Sorry.
Like under, yes. And then I just folded it over and zigzagged on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's other options. You could have taken that mesh, you know, and doubled it over and made, you know.
Like bound it kind
of. Yeah, bound it. There's just I have seen people put that on with a serger and not turn it under. Just leave it like that.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm talking about costumes that, you know, people are charging $200, $300, $500 for.
Yeah.
I feel like they need to turn it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Like, it needs to be more finished for me.
I
just feel that need.
So you didn't really stretch that elastic as you were applying it to the neckline. It's
right,
just
and I
a finisher.
Certainly did not stretch the fabric, did I?
No, you did
ever.
Not. No.
Ever.
If you want that, lovely
flat.
I swear that ZD's not yelling at you in the Zigzag Live broadcast, but maybe I'm wrong. No, we did a great one about elastic application.
Right.
People have been posting about it in the group, how they've been using, and you didn't measure your elastic beforehand.
No, but don't pull your fabric,
don't
everyone.
Stretch your fabric.
Don't do that.
Okay, so, and then you turned it and zigzagged it.
Uh-huh.
So that was neckline.
Uh-huh.
Neckline fun.
And so this is real simple with no finish, no, you know,
right.
It's just the fabric winds up on the neckline. And I had the invisible zipper up to that point, so no particular fastener back there or anything. And then the arms, which on this costume happened to be both mesh, but it would not have mattered. I would have finished
the
sleeve hems the same way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, on the last costume, one was velvet, one was mesh.
Right.
So I do what I call a gauntlet treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody knows what a gauntlet is, it's usually a glove without fingers.
Yes.
Right. The other thing is, I sometimes call it the flippy finger hold,
mm-hmm.
because it's the finger you flip.
Yeah.
That the elastic goes around. So it's the flippy finger elastic or whatever.
So you've got an elastic loop that goes over the middle finger.
Right. So what happens is you have to shape the bottom of the sleeve and where it comes down over the hand, but back up and around the back of the wrist.
Right.
So your hand is naked.
So you were making this costume, and I'm kind of actually going into another topic here real quick, but like, you didn't do anything to the closure or the neckline or the finishing the sleeves or the feet or anything until you tried it on to your people. Like, you have this sort
I had
of,
the closure in the neck end.
Okay, you did have the closure in the neck end, and then you tried it on.
The reason you really need to do that, okay, is as soon as you undo that back closure, you will see your shoulders, like, you know, slip down over your shoulders. It really changes the shape of the bodice. So what you like with the sleeve treatments, and the one reason you use this gauntlet is to keep the sleeve straight and long.
Yeah.
You know, and not you don't want it to roll up or whatever. You see this a lot, again, like in skating and gymnastics, and not so much, I don't think, in gymnastics as much as that other gymnastics stuff.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Right. Because sleeves will, no matter how they're fitted, you know, they'll pull up and not come down or whatever. And
so how do you do that gauntlet? How do you finish that and apply that? And all
well,
that jazz?
I do put elastic generally all the way around the sleeve.
But
so I apply it basically sort of like the neckline.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is very similar to
right.
the neckline.
So I start in, you know, the underneath of the sleeve, you know, somewhere where the seam is. I sew that on, and then when I come to the front, I will make this loop, and there's kind of a trick to that. You know, you got to make sure you're doing it the right. I like mine to look like it's sort of crossed over. There's two ways, okay? I make mine come to almost a point.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be. It can be like a little blunt, you know, more of a square look there. But I do like that point. I think it's a better look. It's absolutely a preference. I'm sure the audience can't see it at all.
Sure.
But, you know, here's me obsessing over it. So, and then fold it under and top stitch, basically,
right.
is what you're doing. And I do tack where the elastic crosses over at the fingers. I put an extra tack there. Those really get abused just from people putting them on and off. And what happens is, like, between performance, you'll flip those off your hands and, you know, roll your sleeve up, things like that.
So did your other they all have this finger, the gauntlet treatment? The last one did? Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, now talk to us about the feet. That's what I'm excited about.
The feet.
That's
are,
for last.
You know, the feet are stirrups. And what that does.
They're stirrups. You said that kind of fast. I just
want to
make sure people heard it.
Well, what this gauntlet does and what those stirrups do, what all the this thing, all both of these do, is it makes everything smooth. Keeps the sleeve smooth, keeps the legs smooth.
Because it can, I mean, like we've mentioned before, the silks can really make things right up.
Right, and just moving the way we're moving makes things ride. You know, the legs could ride up into your crotch, into the back of your knee, you know, all of these different things, okay? So, and you don't want to have to worry about it. You don't even want to feel it, what, you know, messing up when you're doing this or whatever.
Right.
So how I make the stirrups is so silly simple, okay? It really is. It's not even a stirrup.
I know, I love it.
It's a hole. That you put your heel through.
A heel hole.
It's a heel hole. And it's really tiny in comparison to what you think it's going to be. Okay? So you put, you know, this is your final fitting, and they put their costume on, and you pull this legging down straight.
Right.
This will also help in the crotch area from it not bunching in the crotch, okay? So you pull this down nice and straight. You like how it looks, right? And basically, I place a pin right at, like,
the heel.
The heel.
Yeah.
Like, where your heel touches
meets
the floor.
Yeah.
Okay? And then I'll mark another spot, like, how long it needs to be on the foot.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
You know, you don't
it's
think,
not a huge deal,
you don't
right?
Think, you don't think it makes a lot of difference. And, of course, in ready-to-wear, if you're buying a costume, they would all be, sort of be the same. But I see people with big, long feet, you know, and people with little bitty feet, and I try and sort of make it.
No, but if you can mark it, you're going to get.
Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
the sort of the longer it comes down on the top of your foot, the better the performer will look.
Yeah, it'll make the leg look longer.
It makes the leg look longer, right. So I take that off, right? Now, this is going to be really hard for everybody, okay? This is one of those things I don't measure.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't exactly know how to describe it. But I make a hole. What do you think it is? Like 2 inches?
2.5 inches.
Two and a half inches, depending on the size of the person.
Keep talking, and I'm going to go measure it.
So I This is in the back of the leg, and this is the most important part of the whole thing. Oh my gosh, make sure it's in the back of the leg.
Oh, I thought you were actually telling me to do that, and I'm like, oh my God.
No,
oh my God.
You don't, you really, really don't want it to be in the front of the leg. So you really need to make sure.
This is one of those things I talk to myself about. I'm right. Like, Mallory, cut it in the back of the leg.
Right.
Cut
I
it
mean, in the back check of the leg. And check, and you know, check 2, 3, 4 times and cut once, right?
Uh-huh. It's
two
inches.
Okay.
Your circumference is two. It looks like it's a little longer than it is wide.
Sometimes I make it oval. Sometimes it's just a circle, but it gets stretched out, too.
Yeah, that's how it would stretch.
Well, sometimes, see, it might start out as a circle.
Uh-huh.
And after it's worn, it becomes...
It'll turn into an oval.
It turns into an oval.
Oh, man. And you have just... Oh, sorry. She's cut this oval in the back of the leg. Very good.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So, basically, you're folding it, and it's on what you would call, you know, the crease that would go
down
up the back of the leg or down the back of the leg.
Okay, right. And then you finished it with a 3-thread rolled edge.
Yep.
And it's gorgeous.
Now, it doesn't have to be a rolled edge. It could be a 3-thread.
Narrow. Yeah.
It can be just a zigzag, or guess what, guys?
You might be able to do it raw because it's
not. You can leave it raw.
It does look really nice finished like this. And then she's got her, you know, the part that's going over the foot or just the
That's
the
your
hem.
Right.
That's just cover stitched here. And this is so funny. So it's this holographic fabric that has these like little, you know, vinyl dots on it. And you cannot see this cover stitch.
No, and
it hides it.
It's a silver holographic. And it's on actually like kind of a light blue gray.
Yeah, it is kind of bluey, isn't it?
Yeah, I used actually blue to do a light blue to do the applique stitch. And cannot see the stitches.
No, you can't see the cover
stitch. So when I'm hemming it and I'm coming around and I want my stitches to go back over the other stitches, I'm like,
can't
I had
them.
To feel it. So I did it like the Braille method.
You really have to feel it.
Yeah.
Okay, so finishing, that's what I wanted to cover with finishing is really talking about, because, you know, there's lots of options in different types of performance wear or active wear that you could do. And like, oh, the other, I know it sounds like we're really plugging the membership this episode around, but the one.
Well, we got good content.
I mean, we're just amazing, right? Okay. So you did your thumb hole construction process last year, and that is another favorite video. But, like, that wouldn't be quite appropriate for this particular...
Well, I could not grab my silks if I had fabric in the palm of my hand.
Yeah, so you needed to make sure your sleeve was going to stay down.
In fact, okay.
But your palm was exposed.
Let's talk about people being mean to you when you are a sewer.
Okay.
Right?
Let's
or people being inappropriate.
ZD's
I don't know what...
ZD's going to do a little...
Here's a little... Get out of my sewing mind. I know what I'm doing stuff, okay? So I was fitting Jen's costume last time, right? Last performance, which was last October.
Yeah.
Okay. And honestly, again, my paranoia, is it going to fit? How bad is it going to look? What's going to happen, you know?
Right.
This was my first time sewing for Jen.
Uh-huh.
So the paranoia of it not fitting always.
Right.
Okay. So she puts it on. There were a few people in the studio. It fits her to a T.
Yay!
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, oh, I love it. You know, everybody's like, oh, wow, you know. Okay. So I'm feeling, like, real proud. And I'm kind of feeling puffed up because it looks so good, and I'm just so relieved. So I start marking her leg for the stirrup, the foot of it. And then I go up to her hands, right? And I'm getting ready to mark for what I call the, you know, finger, flippy finger or the gauntlet or whatever.
Whatever.
And this other person who has just said, oh, I can't believe you can do that. I could never sew anything like that. That is absolutely wonderful. This person says, oh, you need to make her a thumb hole. And I thought, well, you're stupid because you just... I thought this. I didn't say it.
Hey,
I didn't say it.
Hey, go on. And then I have something
to share.
But I thought,
she just told me. She announced to the whole entire room. She knows nothing about sewing. She doesn't know what she's doing or anything. But I'm supposed to give her a thumb hole to hold her sleeves down.
Do you know what the Dunning-Kruger effect is?
No.
Okay.
Do I have it?
Oh. Well, yes, everyone does. Okay. Let me explain what it is in a graph. I'll post a link to this too. Okay. So on the y-axis is your, oh wait, hold on. Okay. So is your confidence. Okay. So vertical axis, axis is confidence.
Right.
X-axis is level of expertise.
Okay.
Okay. So when your level of expertise is really low, like near zero.
Right.
Okay. Your confidence is super high.
Why?
This is just, this is how people estimate themselves because they don't know what they don't know. Right?
Oh.
Okay.
They're stupid about what they don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They don't know what they don't know. So you think, oh, well, you need a thumb hole, you know. Okay. And then, interestingly enough, so then the graph curve actually looks like a big, like an uneven U.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So then your level of expertise grows and your level of confidence goes down, down, down,
because
down.
Because you know not everything you is know, easier or straightforward.
You're like, oh, wait, yeah. I understand there are other things to take into account.
Right.
And then even as your expertise grows and grows and grows, your confidence never goes up to that person with no expertise. But I have to admit, I'm like, I need to figure out what I'm having this about. Because,
well,
see,
right.
I say I'm expert in sewing, but, like, what am I thinking?
Well,
I'm overconfident
well,
in,
I just
you know?
Thought it was so funny that she just gave me this huge compliment, and then she told me what to do.
What to do, yeah.
Right, and I said nothing.
Right.
I absolutely said, because what I wanted to say would not have been really nice, maybe, or I would have said, what the hell are you talking about? But anyway, so I went and made sure I knew that I could put her flippy finger on.
You just need to keep your cool and say, actually.
No, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. But this was really funny. When I took the costume back, Jen put it on and she put her thumb through the elastic. And I said, no, it's the middle finger. And she went, oh.
What?
Well, so if I had made her thumb holes, she would have fallen to her death. Okay,
I mean,
it's funny because I've seen this woman wear thumb holes,
and
she knows where they go. They go over the palm of your hands.
Right.
So to keep your hands warm, you know, and she also does aerial. She knows you have to hang on to those silks.
And you have to take your thumb hole stuff off in order to do
absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
but, you know, so, and I understand she hasn't thought through the process.
Yes.
But I just thought it was funny that she instructed me on what to do.
Yes. Well, that's the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Well, and I think the thing is to not take offense. Like I said, I just didn't say anything. I just did what I do.
And like, I mean,
but I laughed all the way home.
I'm trying to get over that too. I'm like, oh my God, don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, that person's not trying to like personally offend me when they say stuff, but it can be annoying. Because
well, I think, you know,
it's like they'll take your expertise when you're going to like, you know, be advantageous to them sometimes, and then sometimes they want to ignore you, and then it's like, oh, well, that's going to be
well, I think and, instead of you know. That, I think, honestly, like, if someone is doing something, and maybe I think I do this, okay? I think I do this because I do make things. When someone's doing something, and I think, like, oh, where are they going from here? It's kind of what I'll say. I'll say, is there a way to keep the sleeve down instead of make her a thumb hole?
Right, right.
You know, I mean, it was just funny. But, you know, someone said something to me later about that, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Another person that was in the room said, oh, I saw that person tell you how to
tell
make
you what
that
to
costume.
Do.
I said, yeah, it was after she told me she couldn't sew, you know.
Okay, well, everybody, don't use thumb holes, okay? And you also don't tell ZD what to do. I get in trouble for it all the time.
No. I think there's a difference in saying to someone, how are you going to do that? Or I don't understand how you're going to do that. Or is there a way to do that? Or especially someone who's got a lot of experience.
Okay.
And it doesn't mean you might not have a better idea.
Before we end this podcast, let's talk about how you put this costume on alone.
Okay.
At home.
Okay.
So ZD, I mean, is an expert in sewing costumes.
So
but
what you have to know is
where did your expertise fail you?
What you have to know is I thoroughly thought out form, function,
yes.
You know, all this color of this leotard. I made like no mistakes on this whole costume.
Yeah.
It
was one of those projects. Where it was this project I did right.
I sewed in like 3 hours, but I thought about it for thousands.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And well, I did a lot of drafting too. So I'm like so excited. And I have to tell you something. I think one reason I was excited about this is I've made so many sparkly, glitzy costumes for other people.
Yeah, you haven't got to make
I finally
yourself.
Am making one like for myself. And I put it on and I looked good. Like I was so, because my partner, I tried hers on and I was like, oh, she looks so good. I am not going to look that good. So then here comes my, you know, insecurity of it fit her, but now I'm not going to look good in mine. Right. So I put it on. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I look good. This is good. I made this right. I did the right thing. I made all the right decisions and I zip it up the back. Right. Uh-huh. And then I try and get out of it. And I can't. I cannot unzip it.
I get a text from mom, and I'm trying to see what the timeline is. No, you sent it all at the same time. Okay, it was yesterday. And you say, in my costume and can't get out.
Well, I had tried several things before. I had tried several things before I texted her. Like, I didn't know what she was doing. So the first thing I did is I got a long pair of hemostats.
It just cracks me up.
And I tried to get a hold of the zipper. I could touch it, but I could not get like any leverage on
it. Well,
and something.
You kind of have to hold the zipper a little
right.
bit.
Right. Well, that's it. It
to
takes
undo it.
Well, right. You know, you have to like stabilize the zipper and then pull down, right?
Right.
And you kind of have to stabilize both sides. You can't even do like what. So as I was totally like, absolutely contorting my rotator cuff. Okay.
Right.
So I went and got this long pair of hemostats, right?
Uh-huh.
And actually, I got like 2 inches. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then this panic came over me of what if I had to go to the bathroom really fast or something?
And we've already done our chronic illness yes. Episode, and ZD's got Crohn's disease. You don't want to be like stuck.
It's like, what if a poop fest came on
exactly.
and I was wearing this, right? So now not only can I not get out of it, but I'm sweating and I'm red and I'm upset and I'm thinking, how could I be so stupid, right? So I text Mallory and I'm like, are you home? No, I'm not home. I'm over here. I'm hanging out with my sister. I'm not coming home till like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
From now,
hours
whatever.
And yeah. hours. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. What do I do? What do I do? Well, I will tell you, I have no rotator cuffs left in my shoulders. This might not be a good thing. But I got out of this inch by inch, taking the zipper down with this hemostat and contorting myself.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I did decide it might be a buddy system costume.
Yeah, you
at
need
that
to
point.
You need to be like, don't right. leave me alone.
But what I did actually was I'm used to getting in and out of wetsuits, having, you know, my husband getting
had
that.
To do that before,
right?
Yeah.
And they have a tether on the zipper, so basically, which is really hard to do on an invisible zipper because they don't have a little hole in the tab.
Invisible zippers are such interesting inventions.
Yeah,
they really are. And isn't it funny? I mean, I get why the invisible zipper tab or pull.
Well, they want it small so you can't see it.
That's right, because it's invisible, you know? And so anyway, I think...
And it's really hard to get a hold of when it's in your back and you're, yeah.
But I think sometimes invisible zippers are good for not just being invisible, but just for being low profile, you know?
Right, right.
And I'm like, yeah, why don't they make some with like some more practical...
Or maybe a switch out thing or
yeah,
something. So
yeah.
And I did make this tether for it, but... And I used a big, huge honking safety pin.
Yeah, you put the safety pin on there. And then
and
put
I
the
had the
on.
Safety pin going through this little bitty, bitty
yeah.
loop. Because that's all you have is there's the little tab and it's
is
on
that
this
what
eensy, weensy loop.
Is that what your pull dyed to?
Yes.
Oh, this is
it
cool.
It took the dye better than the fabric.
This is going to be a cool picture to show. So you dyed your
but you
bra.
See, but look, I scraped off some of the paint
you
with
did.
The hemostat.
You did. So you dyed your bra and your zipper in like some red.
Well, at different times too.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I had these three colors I used to try and make a flesh tone.
Yeah.
And it's scarlet, tangerine, and brown.
Uh-huh.
And I will mix different amounts of them. for to get a different
flesh
color.
Tones, yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing that happens. Different fabric grabs different colors differently.
Yeah.
So I dyed two bras. And usually what I have is a sample of the color next to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Although I know it's hopefully, you know, usually the dye you want it to come out darker than the fabric that you're comparing it to. So I usually have a sample of fabric next to me that I can keep comparing because I do not believe color memory is correct.
Oh, I know mine's not.
No, I don't think you can tell, oh, you know, look at this car over here and then look at like a piece of fabric over there and say they're the same color.
I mean, maybe someone does, but not
me. I don't have it. So I mix these, you know, trying to get a certain color. And what will happen is, so one of the bras grabbed really, really pink. It really grabbed the scarlet and for some reason did not grab the brown.
Mm.
So what will happen is then I re-dye.
Yeah.
So I rinse with Synthrapol. I go, okay, this needs to go back into some brown or back into some orange or something like that. But those three colors, and this is RIT dye. And the reason it is RIT dye, and I know that people from other countries are listening to this, but that's a brand here, and it's like a grocery store brand or you can find it any place. It's because it's a mixture of dyes. So it will dye natural fabric and synthetic fabrics.
Yes.
So I don't know what, you know, this fabric is. So that's the dye I'm using.
Also, I want to bring up this whole like red thing. There was there have been a couple articles about this just in like popular websites and stuff. And the Lingerie Addict mentioned it. For almost any skin tone, a red bra can act as a neutral for you. Like even the Lingerie Addict herself, like Cora Harrington, you know, she is a black woman with fairly dark skin.
Oh, and I was going to say, no, she's not. But I'm thinking of
someone else.
Yes, I'm thinking of the lady that wrote the book.
Oh, the other. Yes. Yeah, oh, my God. I'm just blanking.
I am
she's,
too.
She's the Breast Life is what her name is. No. So the Lingerie Addict and her blog.
She's really white.
Yeah, that's a white lady. Yeah. So, but Cora, you know, she's like, no, I've done this before when I can't find a bra in my skin tone. I wear a red bra. And so anyway, just hot tip out there. That could be useful if you are wearing like a sheer shirt or something and you can't find something in your skin tone. Getting a red for whatever reason, can be neutral.
And this is the same dyes I've used to dye mesh to match, try and match people's skin tones.
Yeah.
But, and you know, it's kind of funny because by the time I finished, the two bras were looking the same color.
Yeah.
So
this zipper pulls a little pink is what I wanted. So dyed.
It's really it's like, you know what it is?
Salmon.
You know that ugly fleshy tone they think is the flesh tone?
No, it's magic mauve. Mauve.
Is it?
It's like light magic mauve.
And look at
Sandy.
The zipper, how much lighter it is.
Okay, and so this zipper pull, we were talking about painting zipper pulls in the group and stuff. Someone said, my paint always comes off. You can rough up the zipper pull if you're just going to paint the zipper pull.
Right.
But also, so it's like the zipper pull's painted. It's coated with something.
It's already painted.
So the dye dyed the paint.
The dye dyed, Well, and you know, on the one bra,
it
was white.
Uh-huh.
They were both white. And it had little white
heart, like plastic findings or something.
I think
like
they were metal.
Oh, they were metal?
And they didn't die. They stayed white.
Sure.
You know, so you never know. Yeah. Now, obviously it's not a problem.
Sure.
They're very tiny.
Yeah, it's not an issue on that.
But
part
you
of
never part. Know exactly what's going to die. I was very shocked. I have dyed zippers before, and I swear that the pull didn't die. No, I think I was like, whoa.
Well, who knows?
And, you know, here's the other thing. RIT dye has changed its formulas over the years. So,
well, and who knows what that zipper's coated with now?
Yeah,
that it
and the zipper could be coated with something, you know, it's a different type of paint or whatever.
Okay, well, if any of you have been missing long episodes, this is for you. And anything else to add about these costumes?
No, but I finally get to wear a shiny costume and act like I'm a kid and hang from the ceiling.
It's going to be great. Okay, everyone, you can get a hold of us on Instagram. We are at SoHereCom. And if you could go to Instagram and like us, that'd be super awesome. You can email me at Mallory@SoHere.com. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SoHere.com.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.